Hello, and welcome to Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Join us every week right here, where you'll hear what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We'll keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing, and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here in Albuquerque. Our special guest today is Art Tedesco. Art is directing ragtime for Landmark Musicals on the Roadie stage at UNM. But before we talk to Art, let's take a look at the calendar. Murder on the High Seas continues through March and April at Foul Play Dinner Cafe. The Effect at the VSA North 4th, produced by West End Productions, runs through the 25th. The Three Little Pigs opened at the Growing Stage and runs through the 17th. Art at the Adobe Theater continues its run through the 25th. A Delicate Ship at the Ox Dog runs from the 9th through the 25th, and Sister Act at the Albuquerque Little Theater opened March 9th and plays through the 31st. Landmark Musicals Ragtime opened on the Roadie stage at UNM and runs through the 25th. Storytellers of New Mexico will host its third annual World Storytelling Day event on March 20th. Rumble Productions' Don't Pretend You're Normal opens on the 23rd and runs through the 25th. A Streetcar Named Desire opens at the Vortex on March 23rd and runs through April 15th. Wish Upon a Star is at the Adobe March 30th through April 1st. Upcoming auditions include Oleana March 31st at the Vortex Theater, and the Ox Dog is still accepting auditions for roles in Measure for Measure. And now let's talk with our guest, Art Tedesco, about Landmark Musicals Ragtime at Roadie Theater on the UNM campus.
We're talking with Art Tedesco this afternoon. Art, you are directing Landmark Musicals Ragtime. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I was right.
Big show.
Yep.
Holy smokes. How many people do you have in the show?
We have a cast of 43. We have an orchestra of 15.
Wow.
And we have one conductor.
And one director.
And one director and a choreographer. And
yeah. Who's doing the choreography? Louis?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a great choreographer. I've seen a lot of his work, and I think I've worked with him before. I'm not sure. So let's talk about Art for just a minute, though.
Okay.
So our listeners know who you are and kind of what drove you to this insanity.
Okay.
What? Tell me a little about your background.
Well, I was raised in Griffith, Indiana, near Gary, Indiana, Chicago, that area. And always, you know, early on, I just always wanted to pursue acting. So I eventually got my stuff together and moved to California and studied acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, where I graduated from, and just banged around Los Angeles for 30 years or so, you know, pursuing the craft, you know, and had a great time doing it, doing plays, and once in a while I'd actually book a TV show or something. And after a while, it just got to the point where it just was so few and far between my wife and I, who was also an actor. It just said, well, it's a little expensive to live here. Why don't we see what my day job? I have a job that I've been at for 30 years now this month, and it's a national company. And I looked to see what opportunities they had for me to relocate to someplace where it's a little more reasonable to live, because it's very expensive to live in Los Angeles, as a lot of people probably know.
So, as a bit of information, this is the internet. And you're not restricted from naming your company.
Oh, certainly. Oh, no, no, not at all. Yes, yes.
Like radio and television, not the same thing.
I've worked at American Building Maintenance, ABM Janitorial Services. We provide janitorial services for commercial properties.
Yeah.
And okay. So I've been doing that for 30 years, and it's been a great gig for me. They've always been very flexible with the demands that, you know, mm-hmm. acting sometimes make on you. And so, you know, we have a company website. I peruse the website where they have job listings, and you know, Albuquerque came up. Albuquerque and what was the other one? Not El Paso. Tucson, Arizona came up. They had jobs there, and so I put in for Tucson. And then they called me and said, "Well, you could have Tucson if you want, but we really want you for Albuquerque." And I looked at Albuquerque and I said, "Yeah, this seems like a nice place to relocate to." So the acting thing was over. Maybe there's a little theater in Albuquerque where I could dip my toe in every once in a while. So I moved out here, and after a few years, because it just wasn't on my radar, I started dipping my toe in a couple of theaters here and there, and talking to the actors here, and they were booking jobs on movies and great shows like Breaking Bad. And so I started, got a local agent here and started doing plays first. Did several at ALT and here and there. So that's been great fun. And then I started working with Carissa Mitchell, at Mitchell Talent Group. Is that
mm-hmm. their name? Yeah, no,
yeah.
Yeah, Carissa's a friend of mine, and if we've got her company name wrong, well, she'll kill me.
But she's been great. And in the 6 years, I think maybe I've been represented by her, I've gotten more auditions and booked more jobs than in 30 years in LA. So it's just been so refreshing being here and being able to do all the theater I want. And I'm not doing all the TV or movies that I want, but I'm doing enough that if I was getting that kind of work in LA, I wouldn't have left LA.
Right.
Yeah. So that it's just been refreshing to be able to come out here and really apply my craft, in a very active manner and hands-on manner.
So you started as an actor.
Yeah.
And you've done stage and film and TV and theater, being stage, I guess. How did you move up from acting to directing?
Well, I've directed a little bit here and there throughout my career. I'm an actor. I don't consider myself a director. But I direct to inform my acting, to help my growth as an actor, mainly, because directing's it's a tough gig, I'm trying to, what does the director want from me as an actor, and what better way than to direct?
Yes.
Actually see other actors' work and, that's what he was talking about when he told me to do this or that.
And so, of course, because you're an actor, you decide to direct one of the biggest powerhouse shows there is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, the good news is I've seen some of the cast and crew, and you've got some really, really strong people working in this show. Folks I've worked with and folks I've watched, and some of them I've even watched grow up and worked with them when they were kids, some of them. So congratulations on your cast and crew. That's going to make your job a whole lot easier. But that's my opinion.
Right.
Tell me about your experience.
What definitely Landmark Musicals was. I acted there a few years ago, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Mm-hmm. And they were on my, my bucket list to direct a show there one day, because I've always been so impressed with the talent that they get on that stage. It's Equity level, professional actors. It's really the theater that's done here is really no different than what they do in LA in the Equity Waiver theaters. I mean, there are people that are new and still, flexing their muscles there, but there's still, you'll see a show with a big cast, and, there'll be a few people that are newbies, and there'll be a lot of people that are pros. And that's the same thing we get here in Albuquerque, in my opinion.
Well, everybody has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But the blockades to building your craft don't seem to be as extensive here.
That's true. So,
all right. So Tell us about Ragtime.
It's a huge play with huge themes. It's many stories, but it's mainly three stories. It's the story of the New Rochelle white Anglo-Saxon family that thought it was going to be a white Christian America for all days, and it takes place at the turn of the last century, 1906, and it spans several years. They're not really specific in the script about what year is when, but that's the purpose. That's part of the play. And it's three stories. It takes place. The big turning point was that it took place during the Industrial Revolution, and Henry Ford. That's a big storyline. Henry Ford manufacturing the Model T, and America needing labor, and during this period, from like 10 years earlier, the annual immigration rate tripled, you know, and so we were getting huge groups coming in from all over the world because there were jobs here. So one of the stories line is the immigrant storyline, specifically a character named Tata who comes here. He's an artist. He comes here with his daughter to have a better life. He makes silhouettes. And then we have the story of the New Rochelle family. And the third storyline is the black experience at the turn of the century, and we call them our Harlem ensemble as well. So we have our New Rochelle ensemble, our immigrant ensemble, and our Harlem ensemble, and it talks about the black experience at the turn of the century, and it's pretty heavy storylines about all the horrors that they had to go through to get their daily bread, you know, to live, to exist, and this show really does a wonderful job of examining that.
How does it compare to the immigrant situation now?
Well, of course, that's we're still 100+ years later. We're still having these conversations, which speaks volumes about the themes that it is. It's a different experience now, but in a lot of ways, there's just a lot of inequities still to this day, and of course the last election with building the wall and the Black Lives Matter movement. It's still very much an important conversation we need to continue to have, and probably when the play came out in what year was it? I think it was 96. Yeah. It was first came out on Broadway. It was probably a conversation we needed to have then as well. I think there's, and without giving away any spoilers, I think the play's purpose is mainly for us to continue that conversation rather than resolve anything or make the audience feel satisfied that mm-hmm. we have this climax and we're satisfied. I think it's meant to challenge you to go out and make changes.
So it's something that we want the audience to think about.
Yes.
And maybe solutions can come from that thinking.
Yes. I think solutions come from the dialogue as well. And this is part of the dialogue, this show. And they're very clever the way they do it. It entertains. The songs are just beautiful songs.
Great music, yes.
And that's how they sell this storyline with such gravitas to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's just one great number after another.
Who are the people that are making this happen with you now? We talked about this large cast. I don't want you to do a menu here, but I mean, who are our leads? Who are the key players?
Well, our leads are Tata is the Jewish immigrant, and he's played by he's new to the Albuquerque scene, so it's going to be a real surprise for a lot of people. Bill Williams plays Tata; he's a tremendous talent. Amy Poland plays Mother; she's the mother of the of the New Rochelle family, and Ty Cox plays Colehouse Walker, and his is the main storyline for our Harlem Ensemble and the Black Experience. Mother is the character that kind of ties all three stories together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And supporting that, Michael Finnegan, who's a huge talent and a staple here in Albuquerque Theater. I was really excited to work with him. He plays father, and they're called, they talk of each other in the third person. They don't have names. Mother, father. Little boy is referred. He's the only one that has a name in the play. His name is Edgar. He's called out in the script, and there's nothing in writing, but E.L. Doctorow, who wrote the novel Ragtime, the E stands for Edgar. So I'm wondering if that's him observing what's taking place in the play. And also, Sina Soul, plays Sarah. She's Colehouse Walker's girlfriend, and he pursues her in the play. And let's see. And then there's a whole list of historical characters that we see that were very controversial at the time. Mm-hmm. Evelyn Nesbitt, who's famous for being the girl on the swing, her lover Stanford White was murdered by her husband, Harry Thaw, and that was like the O.J. Simpson trial of the century. That there's a big number. Crime of the century, and it was like,
well, a number. Yeah,
we started with the crime of the century, and 100 years later, we ended with the crime of the century. And then Booker T. Washington, played by Finney Coleman, is throughout the play. Harry Houdini is a fun character. We see him throughout the play. Emma Goldman, who is one of the key mm-hmm. historical figures, who was an anarchist, for lack of a better word, who's trying to form labor unions and equal rights and
women's causes.
Women's causes, who was eventually deported. And the list goes on. We have 40, we have 43 cast members. So, but Henry Ford makes an appearance. J.P. Morgan makes an appearance throughout the play.
Wow.
I could really go on and on. I mean, and they're all played by just wonderful actors.
Right.
Yeah.
People in Albuquerque. I was going to say Michael and Amy are people that I've worked with in other shows, and they're both delights, just absolute delights. So they're also familiar to the Albuquerque audience.
Right.
Or at least the Albuquerque audience that has been here for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's always fun for me to see shows where these people have grown into their abilities and into their skills. People that I worked with when mm-hmm. they were younger and we were all growing and charging forward at the same time. And it's pretty gratifying. And of course, Michael Sr. and Lori. I've worked with, so they've got a good lineage there to work from. It's so 43 cast,
15 orchestra,
and how many backstage?
Well, we're still forming. It's tech week, so we need somebody to do this and that. A lot of plays nowadays, it's going more towards the cast members kind of doing mm-hmm. a lot of the set movement, because mm-hmm. It's just, in my opinion, it's less distracting than to see somebody with a headset and blacks, and all of a sudden you're there,
takes you right out,
takes
of the
you
story.
Out of the show, whereas a character brings it on, it's not so distracting. So I'm not quite sure, but we have John Craig, who's been a big asset to many theaters in town. Mm-hmm. He's our deck chief. Maddie Barker is our stage manager.
Oh.
And she's calling the show, and then they're recruiting folks. I imagine there'll be 3-4 people backstage as well, you know, helping, assisting with our cast of 43.
Well, how true to the era are you with costume and makeup and such?
But we're trying to be as accurate as we can. You know? Right.
Yeah. So it's definitely a period piece, which yes. requires some pretty amazing costume work.
Yes, yes, and there's a good. I don't know what the count is, but I would imagine there's close to 125 to 150 costumes, different characters, you know, because, you know, a group of New Rochelle will turn into an immigrant and.
Sure.
Yeah, and our Harlem cast will turn into strikers for the Emma Goldman scene, and they all require different costumes.
Of course.
So it's a big task.
And who's your designer? Who's handling that?
Our costumes are Ashley Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Is our costume designer, and I gave her a lot of work to do, so I kept that. Oh, well, I'm going to have him as a cop later on in Act Two, and so she's been great about, you know, just being very patient with me, and our set designer also is Dahl DeLue,
uh-huh.
who's an Emmy winning set designer who, you know, retired here to Albuquerque,
right?
And so it was exciting to work with somebody with those kind of skills. And,
yes.
And yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. And your music director is
Darby.
Darby. Phoebe. Yeah. Okay.
And we've done a few shows together. I just directed Pirates of Penzance for them.
Oh, okay.
That opened in last November.
Okay, so this is not a new show with this group.
Yeah. No. It's yeah.
So
I had signed on for Ragtime, and then they kind of said, "Hey, do you want to do Pirates as well?" Kind of at the last minute, so
okay.
I popped into Pirates and took that on as well, and that was fun.
Tish and I did the Fantastics. The director who was directing the show disappeared 2 weeks out, and a little theater group in Arlington, Texas said, "Hey, can you guys step in?" It's like, what?
Yeah.
2 weeks out, and we had to find a musical director. And
just you had to do everything.
Start the whole show all over again. Turned out to be okay.
It's fun. It's a challenge. You know?
It is.
That's where you learn. That's where, okay. That's,
yep. Yeah. So that's, we had done a lot of directing and producing before that, of course. So we were sort of ready for what we weren't ready for.
Right.
But we've done some large shows, but I don't think we've done anything as large as this, particularly with music. So what's your biggest nightmare?
Well, I've never directed a show with 43 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, let me rephrase that. I'll never direct a show with 43 people. No, actually, it's been great. I mean, they've all been lovely to work with. It's a challenge, but I have great support. I mean, it's not just me by any mm-hmm. stretch of the imagination. I mean, Darby takes on all the musical chores. Louis takes on all the choreography, and there's very few book scenes. The book scenes are very short. They're maybe a minute or two.
Right.
It's interspersed throughout. And they take place in all sorts of different areas, and we'll have one like the night she spoke. Goldman spoke at Union Square. That's a big number with a lot of people. And younger brother steps out occasionally and narrates to the audience what's going on. It's like she did this and she did that, and that's essentially another set.
Yeah,
where is it? Because he's lecturing or talking to the audience or whoever the actor has chose.
Yeah,
he's talking to. So it's like that throughout the play, and there's just so many moving parts, and we're in so many different areas throughout. I'm constantly confused of, did we do this yet, or has she spoke yet, or no, this is before she speaks. And it's a bit of a nightmare, but luckily we have great support, and Myra and Bob Kochner, they're great support as well. As she said yesterday at our SITS probe, she brings the playground. Yes. And then she fills it with talent, and so it's I get a lot of support, like you were saying, at a lot of theaters, especially community theaters, you're hired as the director, but you're really producing the whole thing. You're finding the people to, you know, run props and lights and spotlights, right. And that's a big chore. Directing alone by itself is a big enough chore. So I kind of pursue the directing gigs that I do go after. I kind of look for theaters that, you know, support you in that manner. That
right,
because that's a big enough chore.
Right. Well, if you're going to take on a cast and crew that size, you really, yeah, really better have support. And I have to say, Myra has done really outstanding shows over mm-hmm. the years, and she doesn't, to my knowledge, skimp on her support for the effort that's going on.
Right.
So, looking forward to this. It's going to be one. What do you think? What do you think your takeaway is going to be from this show?
What is my takeaway? Well, I just hope we engage the audience in what we're doing. I hope it challenges them to look at where we were in America and where we are now and where we're going, and hope maybe it will affect a change with some of them.
With some of the attitudes.
Right.
The thing I would hope that it would affect the change on is the civility in the discussion. That's one of my biggest complaints about the discussions right. that are going on today is how can you listen to somebody when they're calling you names?
Right.
It just doesn't work well. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of the shows that I saw, I think, in New York. I don't remember now off the top of my head, but early on. And I do recall it being one of my favorites. And so I'm kind of looking forward to see what you do with it and how it turns out. What are the dates?
We open March 10th to the 25th. We open, that's a Saturday, March 10th, and we have Sunday matinees at 2 and evening performances at 7:30. The performances are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2.
Okay. And so from where this is airing on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you opened last weekend.
Oh, my goodness. And it was great. It turned out great.
Yeah, had sold out
standing
houses.
Standing ovations and it was... That's scary how good it was.
That's why we try to get these interviews a little further out, but it's good. And I have to say, I'm expecting nothing less than the best presentation on stage. So I know you, I know the rest of the team for the most part, and so I'm not sure what could go wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, you make your choices and what's effective for you, you know, and you hope that the audiences respond. And I think we got a lot of great talent that really are making very effective choices in their work. That's not necessarily, you know, a carbon copy of what you would see in any other production of mm-hmm. Ragtime. So it's exciting to watch these actors work, and the voices. Again, the voices are just one great voice after another.
It's always different the next time around. That's why let me ask you about that. When you're casting and somebody says to you, well, I've done this role before, let me mm-hmm. do it again, what's your immediate reaction?
It doesn't bother me one way or another, as long as the actor continues to stay open. Actually, Michael Finnegan did this role about, I think, maybe 10 years ago.
Did he? Okay.
A father, and so that's great. He knows the part.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like he's trying to recreate what he did before. He's been very open, and for me, like when I work with somebody like Michael, that's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just their sounding board. I'm their third eye, and it's right. like, listen, if it doesn't work for you, you're the one that's up there. You know, let's make it work for you. So even in blocking, you know, you block the show the first couple weeks of rehearsal after we have some music rehearsals, then you start the blocking before the actors really know what they're fighting for, what their objectives are, And for me, you don't really know where to go until you know all those things, until you know what your objective is and what you're fighting for. So a lot of the blocking gets redone once, you know, we're a couple weeks into it and the actors are more familiar with their parts. You know, I could sit there and write down blocking in a script all day long and say, go here, go there, go here. You know, but I really like to develop the blocking with the actors when they really know what they want and what they're fighting for.
For me, the blocking is always relationship based.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And not necessarily in the big scheme, but what's happening in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
What's the relationship in the moment? So if you're three steps to the left or to the right, or makes no difference to me, as long as the relationship is solid, and that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and I always remind them that the blocking is never set in stone. You know, sometimes technically you have to be here or there, but wherever you need to go, go. You know. No matter how far are we into it, you know.
The lights will find you.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
That's sort of backwards from find your light.
Yeah.
I think we've both seen actors wander all over stage looking for a light.
Yeah. they got it. But once they know where the light is, if they know where the light is, they'll stay in
there.
The light.
They'll get there.
They're actors.
Yes.
They want to be sure they're seen.
Yes, they will. So something you said a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of take it apart a little bit. You've got actor A and actor B, and both of them have completely diverging viewpoints on where their relationships are and where their scene is going. How do you deal with that?
I go back to what I would do as an actor. If it's something I can't resolve, you know, or the actors can't resolve on their own, I just, how would I work it? And of course, that's coming from my history and my personal, choices, but it always has to come from the actor's choices. So I might relate, you know, how I would feel about it, so they could compare. Oh yeah, I have a situation like that, but I'm going to use this from my history or that from my history, and it's because it's never about the other actor. It's about trying. For me, it's always about fighting to get something from the other actor. So mm-hmm. if they're going off and doing something that you don't agree with as the actor, well, you just got to fight harder for that objective, and you might end up, that's where sometimes the gold comes in, where they do stuff that, you know, to really make them hear what you need them to hear, you know, mm-hmm. to really fight to get something from that other actor. And so, you know, sometimes the actors are frustrating that they're not, well, then use that. You know, you're frustrated, your character's frustrated by what they're doing. So sure. Fight harder for what you want.
Hmm. Interesting point of view. I can see where that can lead to some sparks and some nice things coming out of it.
Yeah.
We've seen that before. Art, what would you leave us with?
Go to www.unmtickets.com to get tickets.
All right.
For our remaining two weekends. You missed opening night.
Yeah. Art, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Mike.
Art Tedesco, directing Ragtime at UNM's Rhody Stage as part of Landmark's current production.
That does it for this week's show. Join us again in weeks to come when Paul Bauer with New Mexico Young Actors and other interesting folks in Albuquerque's theater world will share insider information about performances scheduled to happen here. The Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast is the place where you can keep up to date on what's playing and hear special features like performance interviews and learn a bit of insider knowledge. If you are enjoying our programs, please like us, comment, and share with your friends on other social media platforms. And until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time. We'll be right back.